The stories contained in this podcast are the recollections of the guests we've invited onto the show. We are an outlet for people to share their truths, and we accept no legal responsibilities for the stories contained herein.
I'm Kendra Sheets.
And I'm Rich Gill.
And this is Enough, a podcast that aims to shine light into the darkened corners of the music industry while discussing the ways we can and should improve ourselves and in turn our community. Welcome back to another episode of Enough. This is Subtext, our shortened and more condensed format where we explore all things related to sexual assault and abuse in the music industry. This episode is going to be a little bit new for us. For the last handful of Subtext episodes, we've been discussing relatively famous musicians and celebrities who have been accused by numerous people of abuse or of assault. And today, we're doing more of the same. But we're actually reviewing the case of someone whose abuse and assault came to light on our podcast.
That's right. For those of you who may have joined us because of this specific episode, we wanted to take time to update everyone on the after effects of what happened with a former guest of ours. While you may know some of the story, unless you've been following along very closely, you probably don't know all of it. On episode 40, Christina Cerati shared with us her story of how a famous punk frontman assaulted her. We did not include his name in the episode, as going back to our very first episode of the podcast, we decided that the names of the rapists and assaulters and abusers would not be stated, as the point of this podcast is meant to be a way to spotlight the stories of the survivors who come forward as our guests. But, as usually happens, it didn't take long for the internet to figure out that Christina was talking about Justin Sane, aka Justin Giever, of political, well-known punk band Anti-Flag.
And that episode aired on July 19th of last year. So that goes out around like 6 o'clock in the morning, Central Time. And around 2 p.m., Rich, our editor, and I are all texting each other, kind of panicked and wondering when the other shoe would drop. So on other episodes, we had almost instantaneous backlash once the episode was posted. By the time I woke up on Wednesday morning, there'd be something on the internet about, you know, people figuring out who it was or DMs or emails. We'd have spent the entire day on July 19th assuming it would be more of the same, but everything was quiet. That was until about 3 p.m. Central Time. That's when Anti-Flag shut down their Patreon. And then their social media accounts, both the band's and personal accounts, right afterwards. And that is when the fire was lit. The internet was basically aflame with assumptions and additional accusations and confusion and commentary. And then Anti-Flag announced that they had dropped off the international tour with Dropkick Murphys, the tour that they were currently in the middle of that day. Our inbox suddenly was flooded with stories stating Me Too, stories from roadies and venue workers across the whole country, some international, who had witnessed this behavior from Justin years before. I actually even received a text from a West Coast friend who told me that Justin had tried to prey on his, my friend's wife, when they were all backstage at an event just a year or two prior. And my friend actually had to step in and intervene so Justin stopped speaking to his wife. Social media was on fire. The internet was on fire. And I personally was super worried for us and for Christina because I worry all the time and I'm full of anxiety. And the internet can be a super mean place and people are cold as fuck. But the court of public opinion almost completely rallied behind Christina and supported her, all while even more stories about Justin continued to come to light. And by that evening, the band had completely broken up.
Days turned into weeks, and the stories just kept coming and coming and coming. It seemed there was no stop to the amount of people who had stories about this one single person. Behind the scenes, Christina and the other survivors had formed an amazing support network where they had been sharing their stories, many of which were strikingly similar. Christina actually held a group chat with survivors of Justin across 8 different time zones. We have trouble sometimes getting ourselves together and we're in the same time zone. So with all these people from across the globe, that in itself is an amazing accomplishment.
And it's also exceedingly shocking that there were survivors in 8 different time zones. If I'm not wrong, I think there's only 4 in the US, maybe 5. I'm not sure about Hawaii and Alaska, but like we were dealing with international time zones here.
Yeah. And, you know, a number of bands did come out in support of the survivors, such as the Iron Roses, who have been big champions of the survivor community. The Bouncing Souls, who are slated to play Anti-Flag's Anti-Fest, kind of came out in support as they stated that Anti-Flag would not be on their upcoming tour, although that was kind of a moot point since the band had broken up the day the podcast aired. Fat Records quietly removed all of the band's releases from their online store and streaming services. And then Fat Mike was, of course, Fat Mike at a NoFX show in Tacoma, Washington shortly thereafter, saying the next song is called Football Tackle, a truly tasteless reference to Christina's story, and then followed that up by saying Fuck You, Justin, which, yes, fuck you, Justin, but come on, the joke was pretty gross. And unfortunately, but not shockingly, larger bands, bands whose names are always the biggest on the festival lineup announcement posters, were silent. What was deeply disappointing was that those bigger named, supposedly feminist bands who had been playing along with Anti-Flag for years stayed silent too. These were the bands who had toured with Anti-Flag and had likely witnessed this behavior for years. The silence was deafening and truly upsetting. Then there were the bands who had been part of AF Records and parted ways with the label, including Pity Party, Hanalei, The Darien Gap, Celebration Summer, and Wolves and Wolves and Wolves and Wolves. Two bands did not leave the label and explained that they either did not personally know Anti-Flag or that their future recordings would not involve the band. But there would be no future recordings because the label shuttered itself, closed up shop, all of the music was given back to the original bands, they retained all of the rights to their material, and the label was done. Christina's story was shared all across the internet on large sites such as Rolling Stone, Pitchfork, Billboard, Revolver, Stereo Gum, and Pittsburgh City Paper.
And we got word that there would be a very official article coming out covering not only Christina's statement and story, but those of other survivors who had reached out to us, some who had reached out to her, but the band and Justin remained oddly silent. That was until both the band and Justin released dual statements on the exact same day, denying that SA had ever taken place. The band claims that they never saw anything. Quote, "While we believe this is extremely serious, in the last 30 years, we have never seen Justin be violent or aggressive towards women. This experience has shaken us to our core," end quote. This comment is in direct violation to numerous stories that were shared with us when Christina spoke out. Way before we heard about any sort of official article, way before her story was shared on any sort of large-scale platform, these emails were coming to us stating that the band definitely knew that there were instances where this behavior happened in front of them on a bus, on a sidewalk, whatever. Justin claims he never did anything. He also uses a really strange phrasing in his statement. He stated, "I have never engaged in a sexual relationship that was not consensual, nor have I ever been approached by a woman after a sexual encounter and have been told I had in any way acted without her consent or violated her in any way." Now, I don't know about y'all, but it makes me wonder how many people go up to their abuser after they were abused or violated or, you know, engaged in some sort of violent act upon to tell them, "You abused me. You violated me. We had non-consensual sex." That's not really how this works so much of the time. As we're finding out, you know, as we talk about with the statute of limitations, with the realization of trauma years and years later, it's not a "see you tomorrow, by the way, that wasn't cool" kind of situation. Why would anyone do that? They wouldn't.
Let's move ahead to September 4th. Christina, along with drummer and former music industry exec Sam Maloney, launch a site called The Punk Rock Therapist. They offer support and free therapy and resources to people who've been abused by a musician or someone in the music industry. The very next day, Rolling Stone published an article online about Justin's behavior, sharing stories from 13 women about their experience of sexual assault and statutory rape by Justin which go back decades, some before he was even in Anti-Flag. And then additional outlets picked up the story, including Spin, Us Weekly, NME, Loudwire, Lambgoat, and about 25 more that we lost track at one point. A few days later, September 7th, the three remaining members of Anti-Flag released a formal fuck you statement. Quote, "To Justin, we believe you are very sick and in need of serious professional help. We want to have compassion and have faith in restorative justice, but fuck you for hurting so many people." End quote. They continued, "Fuck you for exploiting the work of the band and the many people associated with it for so long. As many predators do, it appears you used our beliefs as a cover for egregious activities that you clearly knew we would never condone."
On October the 8th, the hard copy version of the Rolling Stone article hit the stands. And then in late October, Christina was contacted by a restorative justice practitioner hired by the three other band members in Anti-Flag. So it seemed like maybe they did want to do what they had mentioned in their statement in regards to restorative justice. Except she made numerous attempts to meet with them and the practitioner, but that never happened. Nothing ever came to fruition despite her attempts. In November, Christina filed a lawsuit against Justin and the band under the New York Adult Survivors Act, which is an act that gives victims of sexual assault time to file a suit against their abuser, regardless of a statute of limitation. Our previous guest, Karen Barth Menzies, spoke about this in our last episode from 2023, episode number 50. Sometime over the winter of 2023 into the beginning part of this year, the other three members of Anti-Flag bought Justin out of Anti-Flag itself for a very large amount of money. On February 1st, Justin Geber sold his house to his girlfriend, assumedly as a way to hide assets. But he remained living there, and he continued to avoid service of Christina's lawsuit. That same month, while publicly stating that they believe and support the survivors of Justin, the other members of Anti-Flag hired criminal defense attorney Stuart Slotnick in an attempt to dismiss Christina's case. Christina has stated that Slotnick aggressively bullied her with hopes that she would fold, and that they got one survivor who had previously spoken out against Justin to recant her story.
Let's move forward again to February 28th, when the Sound Off report is released. We mentioned this in our last subtext episode, and we'll link information about it in this episode. The Punk Rock Therapist, along with three other femme-led nonprofits, Lift Our Voices, Female Composer Safety League, and the Representation Project, announced the Sound Off Coalition. In early March, Justin transferred the money from the sale of his home to an overseas bank in Ireland. He allegedly holds both a U.S. and Irish passport. So that makes sense. Whispers began that he is planning an escape plan. On March 14th, Christina and her team filed an amended complaint in her lawsuit with the plan to proceed to trial. They learned that previous offers of resolution from the band were not legitimate, not at all. Justin then signs power of attorney over to his sister, who is a practicing lawyer. And then he flees to Europe. Rolling Stone published an article about it on March 19th, along with parts of Christina's latest statement. We will read part of her statement in closing.
As savvy Redditors predicted last July, this punk rock hero has no intention of facing the music. He continues to evade the law and the growing list of allegations against him by seeking a new life and a potential new victim pool in Europe. Despite Anti-Flag's celebrated history of activism in support of women's safety and their decades preaching silence is violence, we now know that the band was approached about Geber's predatory behavior at least 25 years ago and did nothing to stop him. They chose their business prospects over the welfare of their fans. For decades, these men financially and socially benefited from Geber's predation while pretending not to see it.
As of the airing of this episode, Christina is still receiving messages from additional survivors of Justin Geber. She shared that there are about 70 women, 70 with serious claims so far, in addition to evidence showing that the three other members of the band knew and ignored his predatory ways for at least 20 years.
If you would like to contribute to the Punk Rock Therapist Free Therapy Fund, which funds survivors of Justin and of other music industry execs, musicians, etc., please reach out to the Punk Rock Therapist at thepunkrocktherapist.org.
Enough is a podcast centering on surviving abuse, harassment, and assault in the music scene. To help get the word out, please like and subscribe and share with your friends. If you have been on the receiving end of harm from someone, be it artist, venue owner, booking agent, audience member, or someone else, and would like to share your story on a future episode, please reach out to us at thisisenoughpodcast@gmail.com. All correspondences are kept confidential.